This conference will now be recorded.
All right, thank you. I will call to order the Public Works Public Safety Committee meeting for Wednesday, May 6th, 2020. The time is 5:07 and we're just going to go around and I will denote the people that are currently present. Councilmember Nelson.
Here.
Councilmember Osmus.
Here.
And I am here, that is Councilmember Plowman. Joining us would be Chief Hansen.
Here.
Chief Felt.
Here.
Our Public Works Director, Sean Christensen.
Here.
And Park and Rec Director, Rob Baumgarn.
Here.
As well as Engineering Administrative Assistant, Ms. Del Bosque.
Here.
And we will wait and see if Fernando joins us, but as of right now, we three are in attendance. So we will proceed. Public Safety.
He says he's working on it.
Oh, got it. Okay, well then hopefully he can just jump in and when he does, we will acknowledge him. Starting off with Public Safety update, because it's been a tumultuous few days. Let's take fire first, because I think I know where the conversation is going to go. Chief Hansen.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I don't know if you received copies of the stats or not, but as far as it goes, the April 2000 statistics for the fire department, we did have 20 calls for the month, which gives us 85 calls year to date, compared to last year at this time was 99 calls. So we're running a little bit less than last year. Nothing really stands out. We did have one house fire during the month. One thing to note there that the smoke alarms in that house did work well. They did what they were supposed to do. They woke one of the kids up in the house, and that girl went and woke up the other girl that was in the house, and they both got out safe. So house was heavily damaged. No injuries outside of a few animals perished in the fire. But other than that, they seem to be recovering okay. Other than that, there was really nothing else to note. We did do online training through a new training system that we subscribed to last year. And that was all due to the COVID-19 problem we're dealing with. On notes of the COVID-19 situations, I'm having 4 to 5 video conference meetings a week on that, keeping up to date on statistics for that. So if there's any questions, I'd be honored to answer them.
All right, thank you, Chief Hansen. Just want to make note that Councilmember Alvarado has joined us, so he has gotten in on our first discussion item even. Thank you for being with us. Chief Hansen, just a question that I got from a community member, and I don't even know why this was asked, but I got an email asking about response time to the house fire, indicating it was less than stellar. And I have always thought that our response times have been fantastic. Was there anything particular to denote there or no?
There wasn't. I can actually tell you exactly, if you give me a second here, I'll pull it up. I can tell you exactly what the response time was. The response time from the time that we got paged to the time the first big fire truck left the fire station was 5 minutes and 26 seconds. Which is our average, I didn't write that down, our average response time for the month is 5 minutes and 39 seconds from page to truck leaving the station. So I think there was a few dispatch issues through that one. But we've addressed all the issues that came up, and I think the response time is very good.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that confirms what I thought, and that is under our average response time, and our average response time compared to the state average and other national averages, those response times are really good for departments like ours. So no worries there. I don't even know why that question came up or why people were talking about it, but it was talked about. They're not all going to love you, but I certainly appreciate the work that was done.
It always seems a lot longer when you're standing there waiting for people to show up. Even on in my capacity, I get there 2 or 3 minutes before the big trucks get there, and it always seems like it's a long time. So,
okay, I'll open it up to the committee. Does anybody have questions for Chief Hansen? Okay, I see no other questions. So Chief, if that is your last item of the night, you are free to go about your business and enjoy the sunshine while it's here.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for being with us. All right, Chief Felt, you're now in the hot seat. Please give us the rundown, if you would.
All right. I could first start with the latest big incident that happened, a little recap on some things that we have. I would assume all of you have received the BCA news release from the city administrator that came out yesterday. It gives a little more clarity as to what happened during the event and everything. I'm happy to say that I talked to Officer Nicole this afternoon. She's in great spirits. She says she's healing up little by little every day, and we'll be meeting with her doctor to possibly get some stitches out tomorrow and then talk about rehab or whatever else is needed for her physical condition there. But she's in good spirits. As you saw in the news release, she and another officer are on standard administrative leave for something like this. We predict that the main BCA investigation will be really wrapped up fairly soon, but there's some evidence issues they have to work out yet. A few things left with the autopsy for some test results and that type of thing. And then from there, the paperwork goes to the county attorney, and they decide whether there should be any charges. Because as we know, unfortunately, in this case, that there was a loss, loss of a life during the incident. But the coroner has ruled that was by suicide. So, but they will still review the case and go from there. So. I guess probably before I go on anymore, I may be able to answer some questions. There's some information that I may not have because the BCA is running it, but I'll certainly try and answer what I can anyway.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Mr. Alvarado, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chief, I was just wondering, was the BCA happy with the body cam footage that they received? Did that meet their expectations, or how did that go?
That's a great question. And to start out with that, I'll give an extra shout out again to Ross Smeeby from City IT. He came in early that morning on Friday, and he came in every day. He worked throughout the whole day Saturday, most of the day Sunday, and was in again Monday and a little bit today working on some of that. With the body cameras, from what I understand from speaking with the investigating agents, that did provide some very good context for the interaction and everything, because of some of the physical, the fight that happened. Again, you're going to have some distortions of audio and video, and just with electronic devices, there's always potential issues there. But between the numerous body cameras, the squad car cameras, that they said did provide a lot of good context for what happened and cleared up some, some issues or potential issues that could occur there too. So.
Does that answer your question, Fernando?
Yes, it's good that we're paying for the technology. It's being used and it's producing the information that is expected. So thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was one of the first things that I wondered too was, this is exactly the type of scenario that you want that footage for, so that it's not just relying off of people's interpretations or their perspective, but you get a multi-dimensional perspective, and it's there for our officers' protection as well, and as well as the suspects that they're dealing with. So good to hear that it's a technology that we can use. Unfortunately, it was a situation like this, but it's good that we have it. Councilwoman Osmus, go ahead.
Do you have any idea how soon you'll be able to do a debrief?
Well, actually, now that you bring that up, the initial, the debrief as far as like the a critical incident stress debriefing is happening right now, in fact, with officers. So we scheduled that and they were able to get one because of the COVID-19 things. They're doing it similar to what we're doing now. They have to do a video conference to start things out. But as was with our policy for the main officers that were involved in this incident, they do meet with a counselor in person too, just to provide them some resources and make sure that everything is good to go after a traumatic event like this. So later on, as far as another debriefing within the department, we are going to take, as we do, an after action report where we'll sort out things that went well, things that need improvement, processes we can put in place. I will say that with this, there were some lessons learned from the officer involved shooting in 2017 that we had that we used on this one, and they worked very well to, as far as calling in extra people, utilizing paging system and a procedure that we had in place, some of the equipment we had staged and ready to go. We didn't have to try and gather it from four different spots in the office. So we plan to do that with this incident again too, once the dust settles a little bit and once the investigation is complete and we can get a better overall look at the scene or everything.
Does that answer your question, Julie? Okay, any questions for the Chief, Councilwoman Nelson?
No, I'm good with that. I made comment the other night at the meeting, and so I'll just say thank you again to our officers for their good work. It was a tragic incident, and I thought that it was handled very well, and the information that was put out was very timely. So I'll just say thank you for that, and thank you for the work that you do.
Yeah, well said. And I'll echo that as well, that definitely, I mean, this type of situation or incident is something that especially a smaller community never wants to see. You don't want to see it, but when we're a smaller city around the size of 20,000 people, you know, we're big enough for big city things to happen, but small enough that we have that rural America feel. So our hearts instantly go out to those involved, and everybody wants information now. And I thought, you know, even with something as serious as this, I was quite impressed by this, with this, the speed and the accuracy of the information, but also the attention to the sensitivity of the information. And it's not like we had all kinds of info flying all over on the radio and on the newspaper and whatnot, getting all these rumors started. I know stuff goes on Facebook and whatnot, but I appreciated everybody's professionalism throughout the incident and the support that we received from surrounding agencies. I think it speaks to the high level of the way that we run things here in terms of public safety in Wilmer. Fernando, you had something yet you wanted to ask?
Yes, Chief, just refresh my memory. There was a second victim, and that at the residence and is doing well, as far as you know, or am I making that up?
Nope, you are correct. There was a second individual that was not the suspect or one of our police officers that was injured, and it was a family member. That family member was treated and released at the hospital, and to the best of my knowledge, is doing well, at least physically there. But it was, as I understand, a close relative of the individual, and we recognize that this was an extremely traumatic event for them too. They witnessed it happen, and you know, it was a horrendous and very graphic scene there too, and pretty complex and confusing. That's why a couple of the initial news releases were kind of confusing when it came to use of a firearm and taser and that type of thing. But as you see by the latest news release, that's kind of where they had to work through some things to figure out the chain of events and get the facts right. So, but my understanding is that at least physically she's okay.
Great, thank you, Chief. That's good to know.
All right, any other questions pertaining to this topic, or would we like the Chief to move on with maybe his other statistics or any other information that he has for us? Okay, seeing none, Chief, you can proceed with any stats or any other things that might be relevant to your sector of public safety.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. And I apologize that these numbers will be coming to you shortly. They didn't get out in time for the meeting to be in your packet tonight. So that's my fault there. In looking through the statistics, when we compare this month to April of 2019, there's only a difference of about 120 calls for service, less than last year, even with the governor's stay-at-home order. Some trends that we're seeing is, as we would expect, abandoned vehicles and alarm calls are down, crashes are down. That's always a good thing, but it's because there's less vehicles on the road yet. Along with that, fewer traffic complaints, a pretty dramatic decrease in traffic stops. And again, that's just the number of cars is down considerably. But what we do see, and we're tying a lot of it in with the stay-at-home order and just the way the world is right now, is a pretty dramatic increase in domestic calls for service, where officers are called for domestic violence or to settle disputes. Drug complaints are up dramatically. And I don't know if that's just some coping mechanisms of some people that are at home or people that are around, especially multifamily dwellings, are noticing more issues and calling them in or that type of thing. A dramatic increase in mental health calls. Our officers have hit, that's gone up probably about fivefold compared to last year. A lot of extra calls dealing with suspicious people, and that's typically the coding that they use for the social distancing complaints or that type of thing. A lot of them come in directly to our dispatch center, but there also is a state call center for the social distancing or the governor's stay-at-home order, non-compliance violations, or I guess you could say, and they will weed through those and forward them to us if they feel that they need some investigation. And when we've gone and investigated those, I'm happy to say that, you know, we've still received pretty good compliance. People are getting more restless. There's getting to be more more people that are not being compliant with it. But when we go talk with them, we've been able to get by without issuing any citations. And it's truly my hope that by the time we reach the end of the governor's order, that we still are at zero citations for that, because this we're being asked to enforce a lot of things that are difficult, like telling people they can't play basketball together or things like that. That goes against everything we've tried to work on in the past years. So we continue to work forward with that, you know, with cooperation and compassion for the community, and I think that's paying off so far. And also, too, just want to mention with that we've been working a lot on community outreach for many years here in the department, long before I became chief. And it's times like Friday's incident once again that I think that pays dividends. That I didn't get the angry phone calls that one would expect. I got more calls for people offering to help. We had more food at the office this weekend than we're going to need to get some gym memberships again once they open up here after all the food that's come in. So, I want to thank all of you for your support too. I heard from a lot of you on the council, and I apologize for a few of you. I still haven't made it through my hundreds of emails to respond yet. I still have about 12 voicemails I've got to return from this weekend and the last couple of days, but thank you all for your support this time too.
Other questions for the Chief? Go ahead, Fernando.
Yeah, Chief, we're talking about mental health. How is your team handling it? How do you help them to cope? It's gotta be tough right now. It's gotta be tough to be in this situation. So what are we doing as a city or as a department to help them handle the stress?
No, that's a great question. And, you know, we've had some talks with the supervisors out here about, meeting with their teams, seeing how they're doing, kind of checking the barometer on them, because those teams work closely together, they can see if something isn't quite right a little bit faster than I could, not having interacting with them as close every day. So we're doing that. We've posted a lot of help line numbers around the office that we haven't had before. You know, they're specifically for law enforcement, you know, if they're having a tough time dealing with whether it be the COVID-19 situation or personal issues, or especially after a critical incident like this. After the latest critical incident, Councilmember Osmus asked about, some of the interventions going on there. We do have some critical incident stress management a meeting that's going on right now. We've got some officers that are through department policy are required to meet with a mental health professional after a critical incident like that. So we think those are all pretty effective strategies. But if through this order, if nothing else, I will say that with the restaurants closed down, everybody comes back to the office for meals. I've been able to eat with a few team members that I normally wouldn't see a whole lot of. So in some ways, it brings the department a little bit closer that way too. There's nothing like all being stuffed into a garage, you know, at the same time. That's where our break room is now. So the garage here. So that's helps build a team too. So.
Any other questions for the chief? Okay, looks like none. Chief, again, thank you for your professionalism and a team is only as good as their leader. I want to recognize that. And we wish well wishes, speedy recoveries, and recoveries all the way around, mental, physical, all of the above to your people. So thank you.
Well, thank you for your kind words. It's the team here that gets all the credit, but thank you very much.
Welcome. All right, on to you are free to go about what you need to for the evening. It's nice outside. You should take advantage and enjoy. All right, we'll move on. First action item that I have on my agenda, Public Works Director. Oh, no, that's going to Rob. We're going to be talking about park signage. Mr. Baumgarten, go ahead.
All right, thank you, Chair, member of the committees. This has been to us before, so I'm bringing it back again. So we're going to ask for the motion to approve the sign design and construction of the materials as recommended by staff for the replacement of the existing and future City of Wilmer Park identification signage. If you go around town, you'll see the signs around. That's like in your packet, like Northside Park, it's the wood. It's a cedar post with the blanks in there and rotted out. So that's what we can currently have right now. When we brought it to the Park and Rec Board, we talked about it with some examples. We had several examples that we looked at. The one that the Park and Rec Board liked was the one that is also in your packet, is the Fergus Falls Fever Park with the two posts and everything. That is a composite sign. But it gives you all the details on it. And if we want to put information below, we can do that as well. So when I brought this to the first time, we talked about it, talked about pricing. It was asked to bring it back with alternate material and pricing. So I did that between a composite sign and aluminum sign. And if we look at the price difference there, if we look at a composite sign, a 5x3 is right around that 2,700 mark. If we do an aluminum sign, the same size, it'd be about 527. So that's just the sign. And talking to the guys at Public Works, they like the idea of if we went with the sign like we proposed with the Faber Park or the Swanson Field sign, that's in your packet as well, is that we put the cement pad on the base of it too, so we can avoid hitting that with weed whippers and mowers, so it would give it a clean look. The design that we came up with the brown sign with the white lettering, it would represent or resemble the signs that we have at our community parks of like Miller and Rice and what we have at Robbins Island Park as well. So so this is just bringing it back to the committee here to discuss it and seeing what we want to go forward with the signage at the parks. And a lot of this comes back to what we wanted to do with the Rowell Park with the Kiwanis, because they want to donate that sign, and they've contacted me again, and they have the $1,000 set aside to redo Rowell Park. What I would say too, with if we went with the aluminum sign, just because we have 30 parks in our community that we would probably have to get signage for, I look at on the back side of that sign that we can do some other things with it too, is if we want to put contact information, if there's graffiti or something's broken on the playground, they can see that on the back side of the sign, who they can contact, or even if we put a picture of our park system in, people can view where our other parks are at. So if they want to visit another one, they can. So it can do a dual purpose as well with that. So, and we can go any color with it, with the aluminum sign as well. Talking to print masters, we can do anything that we want once we go to aluminum sign. So I'll just kind of open it up for questions or discussion.
Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Okay. Obviously, you know, there's a huge cost difference. My question on the aluminum signs is, and because, well, we have a sample out at the baseball field for a little bit on that, but what about like hail damage or dents, or is it going to look, over time, will it look dingy and rust, or versus a composite?
Well, with the aluminum, it shouldn't rust. It just what type of fasteners we put on there. I guess you always probably play the risk if something does happen. But, you know, someone can come up there with the composite sign, put a big old gouge in it, and we're kind of in the same boat that would have to eventually replace the sign. So if we're looking at if we have to replace a composite sign or an aluminum sign, you know, the aluminum sign is still going to be way cheaper to replace if something does happen.
Did that answer your question, Julie?
Yep. Okay. Good job.
Andrew, Fernando, I have a question.
Fernando, then Audrey.
What's the life expectancy of those aluminum signs, and how many are we anticipating putting in this year?
Well, my plan would be, well, depending on what we have for budget-wise, is always to put like 5 to 6 signs in a year. So one, it doesn't gouge the budget as much, but yet it still will get a plan together about what signs can go out there. I would say aluminum signs, you know, we would try to keep them away from being south-facing so the sun doesn't always hit on them. So I'm guessing we're going to, you know, get good life out of them. I'm guessing they're going to be 10 to 15 year plus with the signs, depending on what happens to them, if people mess around with them or not. So it's almost going to be almost just like a street sign type of deal.
Okay, thank you.
Audrey, go ahead.
Okay, and I apologize, I don't have the documentation to look at, but so you're looking for approval for the sign design. You're not looking to go ahead and just spend or order some. You're worried about the Rowell Park being able to do that one this year. Is that what you're thinking right now? Or
yeah, just to get so we can get some closure on it, so they can understand where we're going to be at with our park signage and everything. And you know, just because of the times that we're in right now, maybe the signs get pushed off for a year to get, so we can start developing the plan and having the budget for it. But it's really more of getting the uniformity of it, the design done, and we can start planning in, you know, for the future.
Hi, thank you. I mentioned this before the meeting started, but it was nice to see our actual City of Lummer logo on there. And if I understand correctly, your group was asking for a dark color and you're thinking brown that would match the other signs. Is that what you're thinking, Rob?
Yeah, that's the game plan. So then there's some uniformity throughout the whole park system that you know, how Robins Island looks, how Miller and Rice, and you know, when we get to Northside and Lincoln, those signs would still look like what Miller and Rice would. We'd still do those signs the same because those are our community parks. So all of our community parks would look the same, and then our neighborhood parks would go to this style of that we're proposing with the white sleeves and the dark background.
So that still is an issue for me. We approved the first one, which I thought looked like the county, and so I wasn't in favor of the one out at Robins Island. I thought that was going to be the only one, and then I know our staff did that. That's great. I know that we need to have continuity in the, isn't there the five, what's noted as, you called them community parks, is that the right word?
Yes.
They aren't regional parks, they're...
Yeah, our regional parks are, is Robins Island, and actually we can consider Swanson Fields complex as a regional park that's in our park plan.
But aren't there five that fit into the what we were going to do next kind of concept, Rob?
Yeah, it's Rice, Miller, Northside, Lincoln, and Ramblewood.
Okay. I know they're expensive, but I know that our staff actually built them, so I know that the savings was there too, so. I thank you for the information. I just was worried about from a budget standpoint where we're at, and I know that you all the departments have been asked to review expenditures, and I don't know where we're at with that yet either. So thank you for the information.
Go ahead, Julie.
Now I remember a discussion somewhere along the line that the signage that was picked and well, like for Miller Park and anyway, the design wasn't maybe what we really, really wanted. Is just because those have gone to that, is that do we want to continue with all the rest of the 25 or 26 other community parks, or do we want to look at something different for those?
Andrew, if I could comment after.
Yeah, let's hear what Rob has to say about that, and then Audrey, you can comment again.
Well, that's why we're discussing it, to see what type of format do we like the design, or do we want, I mean, the Park and Rec Board would like a darker color, but does that become like a forest green color, or is it a navy color? Because when we go to the aluminum sign, we can do what any color we want, and everything. So that's, you know, the decisions that we can make here and talk about what colors do we want to go forward with it. With just talking to Gary at Quick Signs, we just kept it brown because it would be a uniform look. I get that if we want to change it, this would be the time to change it then before putting 30 more of them out. And, you know, with what's at Rice and Miller, if we want to eventually change those out, you know, we'd be looking at trying to budget something around, you know, that 2700 mark, you know, so they're half of them are done. So if we want to move forward with Ramblewood and Northside and Lincoln, we would just have to do what we wanted to do then and then change out Miller and Rice later.
Audrey, go ahead, and then for now.
Thank you, Councilmember Plowman. I'll go back to the park plan days, and there was originally, I think, a design for what was it, the sign said Wilmer Parks, and so there was a logo that identified the, you know, the parks. And I, you know, I'm sorry, but I think we're past that now with the signs that we already have up, and so this almost looks like it coordinates more with the signs that we have. And so while I appreciate where you're going, Julie, if I'm not sure we can get there right now with coming up with a logo, and that might have to be the next time around when we update the park plan and come up with a change in the logos, or you know, a theme for the park. So I guess I'll quit with that.
Fernando, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what I'm seeing is that we've got the like Rice, Miller. They've got the stone and they've got the darker presentation for the name of the park. And then I like the brown presentation to match the kind of the background to the Miller Park and Rice Park. I like that kind of theme myself. I don't, you know, I guess, and I don't know if I understand about would changing out the signs. Would we take those signs at Miller and Rice Park and remove those after they did such a nice job of building them, or am I just confused?
Well, like what I kind of meant is because you can go with the, you could go with composite, you can change the color. You know, I got that in the packet as well. You can change the design of it. You can change a different color if we choose, if we want to go that route.
Well, I'm happy with the aluminum. I'm happy with that. The cost savings there. I don't want to go right. You know, I'm happy with the lower cost product. I'm happy with the brown. I like the style with the wave. That's just me, but yeah, like I said, we'll have to wait and see what where the money's at and go from there, I guess. Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Plowman, just one other thought, if I may.
Yep, okay.
Okay. Hey, it's great that, you know, that they want to do Rowell Park, and that would be a really nice addition to getting some things done out there. And maybe that's a concept that in our times right now where we perhaps shouldn't be spending money on sign, maybe there are some other organizations that, you know, as we go forward that we can reach out to with that have, you know, Lions Park and a variety of different things that perhaps we can look to. With the amount that's there, the lesser cost, it might be an interesting concept to try to approach adopt a sign kind of program. So, thanks.
Good point.
Yeah, thank you, Councilmember Nelson. I'll try to keep it short, but sometimes I have a hard time doing that, so I apologize in advance because I ramble. Number one, I'm a advertising color theory marketing trained kind of person, and I also know the engineering fields, and I know that when it comes to both of those fields, color theory and continuity are actually big issues. Some people look at it and go, it doesn't matter, paint them whatever color, it doesn't matter, but there are scientific studies that say it does matter what your light poles look like and the continuity in your light poles and what colors they are, your signage, both the type, the shape, the size, the color, all of that stuff. It does matter because it all sends a message. And furthermore, more than just a marketing message, it's how we present our city and how we present the information within our city. So I look at it as more than just a simple sign. I appreciate the fact that Rob is kind of going along with the overall vision for the parks, in that there's not only continuity being established and maintained, but there's also a hierarchy. So it looks as though, I mean, the signage at our waste treatment facility is contiguous with the signage at the airport. It's contiguous with the signage at, you know, other buildings that we have. And so we've kind of already established a theme there. Likewise with the pictures that we have of our signs that are now new and very nice looking, I might add, I think that we have at Miller Park and whatnot, or what are going to be the community parks or the larger designated parks. I think we've established that. We're establishing a look and a feel and a theme with our park buildings. So we're quite a ways down that road already. So I'm not inclined to do an about face and go the other direction. I don't think our staff would be in favor of that. I do think if we did want to do that someday in the future, whatever we have done already in aluminum, where you don't have to mess with masonry, the concrete work, you could simply switch out a sign. If we decide to adopt different colors 5-10 years down the road, it seems like it lends itself to that on a more budget-friendly manner. And so I like seeing the next phase of this, or the next type of sign that's going to be in this signage hierarchy, so to speak. And so I like the look and feel of it. And I also too like the idea of, you know, using the materials that are being suggested and the manner that they're being suggested, and that we could utilize the backsides of those signs for other types of information, other, you know, community things. And it's not so expensive then when you want to adopt a change, or you say, hey, we want to add this to all of our signs. If you got to get them all rebuilt out of one type of material, that's one thing. Whereas if you're using another material that's easy to have them reprinted and cut, then I think we can do that. I hope that's the plan. It looks to me like that's the plan. If it is, I'm supportive of that. Your thoughts, Rob? Am I off base or am I on?
I think you're right on too. With the aluminum sign, we would always own that sign then. And we've done it before, even at the arena, that we've reused some of the signs that we've had. So it'd be really just reprinting the sign and having the vinyl material on it, instead of just actually having to repurchase the aluminum piece. So switching it out later on, if we decide to have it as a different color or logo or anything like that, would be really just putting more of the sticker or the decaling on it.
Okay, real nice. Julie, I see you there. Go ahead.
Okay. So just to make sure that I understand this. So the larger parks, they're going to be the composite ones, like the ones that are already at Miller and Rice, correct? And Robbins Island.
That's the way that I would take it, that the bigger parks would be identical, because they would be like the hierarchy of it. And then our neighborhood parks would get the white nylon or
pole.
Yeah, the sleeves, and then with the aluminum sign.
Okay. And the same font.
Yes, everything would have the same font.
No, do mixed fonts and do like caps lock on some of them and all lowercase on some of the others. Maybe neon colors too. Sorry, I had to. I saw a city that did that once in California. It didn't turn out well.
No.
Any other questions before?
I said that is, I think that was part of a little bit of the dissatisfaction with the current signs, right? Was the black lettering and the look. And
I'm sorry. I don't mean to you and make my jestful comment. But point well taken. Yeah, if you're going to be uniform, you want uniformity to be maintained all the way, because otherwise it makes anything that's different than that really stand out all the more. And like I said earlier, some people will say that things like this absolutely do not matter. I'm not one of those people. I think that it actually does matter. Now, whether or not we're able to finance this in a very short period of time, that remains up in the air, but I still like having the plan of it on the table, looked over, approved, so that when it does come to the financing portion, we know that we've already, Rob's done his work, he's done his due diligence, we've overviewed, and we like the direction that it's going, that we feel confident that not only is there continuity, but there's also a good hierarchy there's method to the madness. So that's what I like to see. Does anybody want to take a move on this one, or?
Is that what we're looking for? I'll make a motion to, are we looking to go ahead with the aluminum signs, or that with the format of Fergus Falls sign?
Yeah. What would be your ideal motion?
To approve the sign design and construction material as recommended by staff for the replacement of existing and future City of Wilmer identification signage.
I'm good with that.
I can second
have everything
it.
In
Does
there.
Does that mean so?
The pool. Can I hear the motion?
I think
again?
We have a motion.
Yeah, you want to hear
the motion I make again?
The motion that you said you thought you were good with. That's a very that's a very sloppy motion, Julie.
Okay. Here it is again. To approve the sign design and construction material as recommended by staff for the replacement of existing and future City of Wilmer Park identification signage.
Okay, don't we want to say what it is instead of just recommended by staff?
With the construction material.
Say that again.
Because we're saying we're approving the sign design and the construction material as recommended by staff. So I'm recommending the aluminum sign.
I agree with Julie though, because the attachments don't get put in the minutes. So perhaps it should incorporate the material and that we're approving the design, not the purchase of to replace all the signs. I think isn't that what you're suggesting, Councilmember Osmus?
Right, because right now we're just looking for the design, right?
And the material.
Then I would want to have in there that it's the aluminum.
Okay. We can actually just go approve the sign design and construction material of aluminum material as recommended by staff for the replacement of existing and future City of Wilmer Park signs.
For future replacement? Or replacement?
Existing and future.
I just don't want us to get taken to task that we're replacing all the signs, or we're implying that we're replacing all the signs. We're approving the design, right? It's not for the replacements.
Yeah, we might be splitting hairs here, because I think earlier in the motion, I believe it reads specifically that it reads approving the sign design and material. We're not saying approving construction or approving the costs or anything like that. We're simply approving the sign design presented by staff and the construction material as being aluminum as recommended by staff for the... Okay, go ahead.
Then let's just make sure that the attachment is included with what it looks like, so that it's part of the minutes, so that if a year from now we haven't done anything, we know what we did when we approved this motion.
Yep, no, I agree with that, and it's okay to, we should be paying this much detail to it, because we don't know what's going to happen with this. We don't know where we're going to be at 6 months or a year from now, and we don't want to go, what did we do? Well, I think I remember the conversation, because those conversations are tough. So Rob, you got all that?
I believe so.
Okay, I'm going to just look for a thumbs up. Public Works Director, Mr. Christensen, does that seem like a approvable deal? Okay, he likes the language. We have a motion and a second on the table, approving the sign design as presented by staff and the construction materials being aluminum, also recommended by staff for the replacement of existing and future City of Wilmer Park identification signage. Further discussion before we vote? Okay, then we'll go around. Councilmember Osmus?
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Alvarado?
Aye.
And Councilmember Plowman votes aye. So that motion passes. Thank you, Rob. Next item is also yours, I assume. Robbins Island Four Season Shelter change order number 3. And please give me not such bad news.
This one is actually go to Sean. He does the dirt stuff.
Oh.
I get all the dirty work. Rob gets the pretty stuff. Chairman, members of the committee, in front of you is change order number 3 for the Robbins Island Four Season Shelter. If you'll notice, this amount is only $11,409.56. So in general cases, this would not probably even come to you, except that it's a change order. And in this particular case, since it was one of the first ones and needed to happen before the building was constructed, has quite frankly already been accomplished. So if it's not approved, we will have some
figuring to do and how to deal with it. This particular change order, members of the committee, number three results from 294 cubic yards of engineered fill, and this would be for soil corrections earlier, as I mentioned, for the contractor. The total of these change orders, as mentioned, is $11,409.56. For some more details, the base bid, including all the alternates that were approved by the council, was in the amount of $925,152. The existing change orders, or the approved change orders to date, are $23,083, $3,000 and almost $200, and then this one at $11,400 and change. All change orders to date total $37,670.55. And of course, they were all able to be funded through the budgeted contingencies of $92,515. And so budget-wise, we're plenty good, and it would add to the contract dollars, but not the budget dollars.
Katie, thanks. Well, go ahead. Somebody want to move on it?
I was going to go ahead and approve the motion as recommended by our city engineer to do the change order number three.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second conversation. Oh, I see my hand, so I'm going to talk first. Please. Oh, gosh. It's one of them days, guys. I'm sorry. Okay, I gotta be the mean guy, not wanting to throw anybody under the bus, but it's gonna be asked eventually, so I'm gonna do it. How is this change order coming to us now?
I was gonna actually offer to answer this question before you asked it, if you wanted, see if I could anticipate what you were gonna ask.
Well, you saw my gears turning, so
this one, I'm not entirely sure of all of what happened, but it got lost in the shuffle and did not get approved through, reviewed and approved through the architect as timely as the other two did and get to us. And so in the process of pushing a little farther and actually getting calls, I think Rob got a bunch of calls and maybe Kurt from the contractor wondering when they were going to get paid for this change order. We had to push a little bit and get that approved change order from the architect so that we could review it. And I see Rob's nodding his head, so I think I've got that generally correct. That's not an answer I'd like to even give or that you wanted to hear, but I think that's what happened.
Actually, the only answer I want is the truth. So, and I think that's probably, I hope it's echoed by the rest of the council. So long as we get the truth, it is what it is. But yet not looking to throw anybody under the bus or step on toes. It's just, it's got to be asked when something like, when the building's almost done and then they a request to approve a change order for soils that happened during excavation, somebody dropped the ball. But is that a capital offense? Not to me, it's not. But
well, and the reality is, yeah, I'm not gonna lie to anybody about it either. So I mean, I can tell it like it is, even if it's in my, disfavor of my own. But the way this came about, of course, was they took a couple soil borings. I mean, just to get not too far into the weeds on this, but took a couple soil borings, did their estimates for the project based off of a couple soil borings. When you actually get into it and start digging, find some additional bad soils. And so you end up with additional, fairly minimal in the whole scheme of things, amount of yards. I want to say it was 10% if I remember right. And, you don't want to leave that amount of soil in there. And so it's a legitimate change order. But yes, should have been brought to you sooner, should have been approved sooner and reviewed sooner, and was not.
Councilmember Palmer.
Yeah. And my comment to that is, no, I appreciate the, I appreciate the explanation. It makes plenty of sense. And I would rather, if the discussion has to happen, I would rather it happen here than during the actual council meeting, because sometimes things can take a little bit different turn. But I know that here we can just have a open and frank conversation and dialogue, and I think that's the healthiest. Councilwoman Nelson.
Thank you. I think Mr. Christensen just did a good explanation of how it happened without really blaming anyone. I mean, it just got missed from the beginning, and perhaps that should be in the minutes so that we address it prior to being asked about it at the meeting.
Go ahead, Fernando.
Thank you. Sean, going forward, because of the electronics that we're using now, will some of this stuff be caught earlier now with the way you're taking bids and doing it electronically, or will we have these, I know there's no guarantees, but will the electronic methods that we're using cut down on some of this?
Short answer, no. This could happen at any given time. With all the electronics, it still is a matter of what happens in the field. And so probably not. The electronic bidding is definitely helping us with errors at the front end for calculations. But when you get to the field, things change.
Thank you.
Okay, I believe we have a motion and a second approving change order number 3 for the Robbins Island Four Seasons Shelter Park project in the total amount of $11,409.56, bringing change order totals to $37,670.55. That is within our contingency amount. Further discussion before we vote? Okay, Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman. Aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. All right, the next item that I am looking at. Oh, and Rob, if you're done, by the way, you're excused from the meeting. If you are finished with your stuff, I should have said that earlier. Sorry.
No, I wanted to stay on for the Robbins Island, but Fernando, if you need to get a hold of me, give me a buzz, will you?
Yes, I want to visit with you. I'll get around to it, but thank you for the reminder.
Not a problem. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you for being here. Okay, final action item of the evening, project number 2001-C, West Highway 12, water main plan and specification approval. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. In front of you, as promised, is to adopt a resolution approving plans and specs and authorizing the advertisement for bids on project number 2001-C. West Highway 12 water main. A little bit of details so that you know what you're voting on. Portion of the water main, it's in West Highway 12. If you recall, 2 years ago when we did the concrete street in front of West Central Steel, we went, did a portion of the water line in the South Boulevard of Highway 12 to the west. What we're doing is this project ties onto that, goes under Hawk Creek, under the new Highway 12 connection, and takes this out to County Road 5. So a portion of this project is within the Y project, or was within the Y estimates. You know, remember early on in the projects when we were estimating all the water lines that we were having to replace because of the highway portion of that project. So a portion of this is that project. The rest of it is replacing water line that is in dire need and has had got a pretty good history of some breaks in it. So trying to get all that taken care of. It the official extensions that replaces an existing 8-inch ductile with 12-inch PVC. And it goes from 800 feet west of 19th Street, and it goes to 28th Street Northwest, which is County Road 5. It also replaces existing 12-inch ductile. 28th Street is the shelter. 28th to 30th Street is also going to be 12-inch PVC. Plans and specs have been put together and approved by MnDOT, and we should be ready to go. We're completely ready for the bidding and construction process. Estimate for this project is $402,000. This includes construction, engineering, and contingencies, and the MUC will be splitting these construction costs in accordance with Y Master Utility Agreement, which is was a 50-50 split. And so, but the city is providing the engineering for the project. So, circling back the resolution, the request is to adopt a resolution approving plans and specs and authorized advertisement for bids for project number 2001C West Highway 12 Water Main.
So moved.
Your wishes. We have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. Discussion about the project.
I know we're just authorizing. Oh, excuse me, Councilmember Palman, may I speak?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. I apologize. Eager to ask the question, right? I know we had this conversation before, and I remember the conversation with the utilities. But where's the money going to come from for this? That's what I'm trying to remember.
Councilmember Nelson, the money, of course, from MUC's portion, it comes from rates, from their rates. So our portion of it was in the capital plan. So whether that is initially from the community investment or bonding, I can't remember which list that is under. It might actually be under bonding for this year's projects, actually, now that I think about it. I can't remember for sure where Steve has that listed. But yeah, our half, I think, is one of those two options, if I remember right.
Councilmember Palman.
Me.
I'm not remembering that it's listed under bonding, but maybe we should clarify that so that we can answer that question with the motion, or if it's asked, or as part of the motion, maybe. So.
Yeah, I can add that to the motion. I think it is in the latest bonding list, but you might know okay. better than me because you're on the finance committee. But
no, I just remember the list that we had, and I don't remember this because this was sort of an unknown, and wasn't it originally out there almost like for twice this amount?
Originally, it was 1.3 million.
Yeah.
This was for all the water lines.
Because there was a discussion of trying to get MnDOT to lower the estimate kind of amount, and not so that we didn't have to record it. But I just don't remember a whole lot more than that, other than I know that we have to do it. So,
Julie, go ahead. Oh, you were just waving around out of excitement. You can't wait to vote. Yeah, there you go. Fernando, any comments?
No, I think it's been explained. Thank you.
If I may, Chair, I've been trying to pull up some information here while and still listen and answer the questions correctly. But in past correspondence, we've got actually $167,000 in cash from the industrial park still from years ago sales tax on that one. And then so $67,000 in bonding is all we'll have to do. So a portion of it will be bonded, but a majority of it will be from the industrial park funds from previous sales tax.
Okay, so now we sort of know a little bit better the financial portion of it. And if that could be included in the minutes, that would also be helpful. That way the others reading will not have those same questions, or they will have them partially answered at least. Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt a resolution approving plans and specifications and authorizing advertisement for bids on project number 2001-C, the West Highway 12 Water Main. Further comment or question before we vote? All right, Councilwoman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilwoman Nelson.
Aye.
Councilman Alvarado.
Aye.
Councilman Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion does pass. All right, now we're on to discussion items. And I guess the only one that I see on here is our upcoming schedule. Sean, if I may, I think I would like to get on the schedule if possible. I think we should have, when we had talked a while back, but I think sooner rather than later on the schedule, we should have a discussion regarding the County 5 Highway 12 roundabout as well. I think the conversation we just had maybe makes for a good segue into that, but I have some concerns there. So if we could add that to a future agenda so that we can maybe nip that one in the bud, or if official action needs to be taken, it gives us the opportunity to do that sooner rather than later. Does that sound feasible?
It does. Do you want to send me specifics or what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Or otherwise I can, because what are you thinking, a redo of it, or what do you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if a redo is even feasible, but if not a redo, then there's going to have to be some, you know, and it's out of our control. It's out of our complete control, but if not a redo, then there's going to have to be some alterations made. And the very least, I think it's incumbent on us to air our concerns and to get those concerns in writing and publicly documented, so that if nothing is done, if no changes are made, when it does become a problem, it's not going to land on our on the desk of this committee.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I don't know how much of it is in writing. Actually, I think it was, because it was in the minutes. I expressed my concerns at the design phase of that particular roundabout, and they were not followed at that point either. And so I'm hopeful that I was wrong and my concerns are for naught, but you know, we'll find out, you know, as early as this summer.
Yeah, and I did some digging as well, and I pulled up some minutes, and it, I believe the minutes do show accurately our expressed concerns from not only yourself, but a couple members of the committee as well. So I will email you a list of my concerns with that, and then we can put it on the agenda, and then it can be something that we can discuss hopefully sooner rather than later. Like I said, then at least our discussion about it is formalized, and I think it's important to have that documented conversation as a part of the record.
Yep.
Councilmember Plowman?
Yes, Councilwoman Nelson.
Just a question, are you talking about the distance? I remember the distance being an issue. Is that what you're referencing, or is there something else? I had a question when I've driven out there about the where the bike route is going to end up, because that was up for grabs and they were trying to figure out what to do with that. And I haven't figured out what they're doing with that yet either. So I was just curious what your concerns were.
That's one of about five concerns that I have, not only the proximity, but the actual design itself, the circumference, the actual size and location of the lanes, the location of the bike paths, and all of those with, and signage, potential signage, size of the actual berm, in the middle of the median and whatnot. There's a good list of concerns I have, because we already have somewhat of an idea of we're only at half capacity when it comes to traffic, if that, and we're already having problems with trains. So, and Highway 12 is not even through right there. Highway 12 isn't even moving traffic through that traffic circle. That's just County Road 5 traffic going north and south. So if we're already having problems with traffic stacking up in the circle because of trains, as Mr. Christensen had contemplated and I brought up as a worry to the engineer that was there, I believe from MnDOT or whomever, I don't know. But when you compare the two roundabouts, the one that the county built and the one that is a part of this, there's a night and day difference between the quality of them. And I think that traffic counts would suggest that the one to the north is actually the more frequently heavily trafficked one. So the fact that it wasn't built in a more robust nature, taking the trains also into account. Somebody dropped the ball, but it ain't going to be us.
Did they move it back some? Didn't they move it back some in the design?
No.
After you identified that?
I was going to say, just being snarky, never mind.
No, go ahead. I'm just asking if they did move it back or not.
If they did, maybe 2.5 car lengths.
Okay. All right.
But it's not big enough. It's not far enough away. There's not enough lanes. It's going to be a problem. And when we have potentially, you know, 100 to 200 new families living up on North County 5. So just wait, it's going to be nuts. There will be standstill traffic on Highway 12 in both directions. The whole thing will come to gridlock.
Yeah, I think you're right, because people, first off, don't understand how to maneuver roundabouts well enough to not get in them and then stop in them. I think that's going to be part of the issue. The reason I've been given a number of times is that there's enough room for cars to get by, even though it's only striped as one lane, but that's not going to happen. They're going to stop. I've got a video of someone who was stopped in the middle of it. Of course, give me an opportunity to chastise her a little bit, but it was, you know, you don't stop in the middle of a roundabout. So that's the excuse they keep giving, is that nobody will stop in it, so that people will stop ahead of it, and or so they'll be able to continue around. But I agree with you, Andrew. I think there's going to be problems. I think at a minimum, they should have built it exactly like the one at the south end, where it's two lanes on part of it and a single lane on going north if they want to. But so that's that. Now they're still working on some medians and curbing and concrete this week. I think this week or next. So some of the shape of the median itself may be changing yet. And the bike path, I believe, or pedestrian path, is, if it's not complete, the design of it is to be on the east side and connect the dots that they have interrupted with the new Highway 12. So I think we're okay on the bike design or ped path design, but the traffic stopping is I agree, is going to be an issue.
Well, and that's good, because that, I mean, my number one concern, because it's going to be the most frequent, I believe, is with trains and traffic. But then number two, the safety issue. And I hope that's something that's resolved by the size of the berm, because when you are approaching moving northbound, the berm as it is now is the same grade that at eye level, when you're in a vehicle, it lines up with the horizon of the elevation of the train tracks. So it looks like it is just one contiguous flat surface. And I can tell you, we'll have a car launched 60 feet. It'll be amazingly horrible. But we can't go without noting. I mean, if we believe that that's potentially going to happen, we can't just ignore it and pretend it's not going to happen without saying something, because there will be a whole lot of finger pointing if and when that does happen. And so we got to make sure we have our ducks in a row. I was just going to say, I don't think anybody on the city's part has done anything wrong, though. Go ahead, Audrey.
I just have one more question. I attended the majority of those meetings. Was part of their explanation the fact that they anticipate there will be less trains sitting there, or is that not correct?
No, that's
the why is being used, or is that it? I mean, is that part of what they're thinking, or am I like not thinking right?
No, that's part of it, that they're going to have less trains there because of the why. But I think one of the biggest culprits I see of backing up traffic is coming out of West Central Steel. Well, that's not going to change, because it's still there. So that is one of the reasons they're using for the size. Absolutely.
Okay.
And just a plug for West Central Steel. They're a great company and a valuable asset to the city of Willmar. We love them. Anything else that anybody would like to see on our next agenda? Okay, if anything else is added, we'll just watch for that next agenda. If anything comes to mind, feel free to email myself or our public works director, and we can take a look at adding that. I do have the call for an annual stormwater hearing on our May 20th agenda. I assume some other stuff will pop up before then. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So, is any other business come before the committee before we adjourn?
I would ask just one question. If it sounds like all the public works staff are back, and I've seen them out busy, and I just wondered if it was going okay, if we're meeting all the requirements for safety, et cetera.
Yeah, members of the committee, we are. In fact, I truly believe we've kind of gone above and beyond in some cases for this. For the safety of the working employees, We are back to full staff. We're in two different shifts, and so they don't intermingle. When we get more people mowing, because if we have less temporary help, we have more full-time staff mowing, we're not going to want to mow the neighborhoods around the neighborhood at 5 a.m. and so we may have to adjust our schedules a little bit. But right now, yeah, two distinct shifts and crews, and but yeah, at least 40 hours a week.
Thank you. Thank you. Then Fernando had a comment.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, you know, there was a big drive-through for Jenny O today at ACMC, I believe, or not today?
I think it's tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow. So did we assist in setting that up?
We've not been asked. I've not been asked unless, I think Gary would have told me.
I think Wilmer PD was helping with that.
Okay, I thought I saw one of our trucks out there last night when I drove by, and I like when we can cooperate to work together. So I thought that was a good thing. So I was just curious if that was the case, but apparently it wasn't. Okay, thank you.
Well, if asked, we'll absolutely help them out if we can.
Yes, good. Thank you.
Anything else before we go outside and run around and frolic in the sunshine? Going once, going twice. I look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right, we are adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Hey, yeah, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.